Hi, this is Kerry Schmidt, director of Striving Together Publications. If you're interested in biblically sound and practically relevant resources for spiritual growth, I invite you to visit strivingtogether.com. At Striving Together, we're laboring every day to produce books, curriculum, music, and local church resources that will encourage and equip believers to live their faith. From all over the globe, we're hearing stories every day of how God is changing lives through these resources. Striving Together is committed to conservative biblical doctrine and values, and we're committed to supporting local church ministry. Visit us today at strivingtogether.com or call toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. It's one thing to know about Jesus Christ. It's another thing to know Him personally. And when you know His greatness and His attributes and His power, and then you make Him your personal friend, it changes your whole perspective on life. Next, on Daily in the Word, Dr. Chappell examines the greatness of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College here in the high desert of Southern California. We're currently studying the greatness of Christ and understanding His incredible and amazing attributes, and we're personalizing those attributes and bringing them into the realm of our personal relationship and our daily walk with Him. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday. You can find out more about our ministry at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to past broadcasts. You can find a subscription to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you, and also receive a daily devotional from Pastor Chappell. We would love to minister to you through dailyintheword.org. Now, let's join Pastor Chappell for today's message. Here's Paul Chappell to introduce our topic.
You know, one of the most encouraging phrases that Jesus ever spoke, one of the most profound truths that I have ever pondered, is this phrase: before Abraham was, I am. The eternality of God is an amazing, amazing doctrine. And the fact that Jesus Christ is eternal helps us to realize that He was not just another prophet, He was not just another teacher, but that He certainly is God manifested in the flesh. I pray that your faith will be strengthened as you understand today the wonderful eternality of Jesus Christ.
Years ago, there was a film that perhaps some of you saw, several of them, and the title was Star Wars, and they talked about the Force, and they talked about the dark side. And many folks would talk about the powers of the Force, the powers of the dark side. And I suppose in some ways they trivialized the reality that there is a Satan, a devil in this world. There is a devil that is fighting everything good about our God. And I believe this morning, as we gather here in this place, we need to recognize that the force of good and the force of evil is not just good makings for a movie in Hollywood, but in reality this morning, the devil is fighting against the works of Almighty God, even as we sit in this place today. For ages, satanic forces have rebelled against the Lord. You go back into the Bible in Isaiah chapter 14, and you'll find that Lucifer led one-third of the angelic beings to revolt and rebel against God, and that his demons have been working ever since to fight against the plan of redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see it in the Garden of Eden as Satan came and tempted Adam and Eve. And then we see the devil as he fights the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the earthly ministry, even tempting the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4. When we come to John chapter 8, we see in the early portions of this chapter, Jesus Christ presenting himself as the light of the world. Not a light, such as the New Age movement would speak about, but the light of the world. Jesus Christ has presented himself as the bread of life, as the light of the world, as the door of salvation. But as he presents the message of salvation, again, Satan fights against him, and wicked men stand in opposition to the teaching of Jesus Christ. Although this is now at the latter portion of the public ministry of Jesus, the fighting of Satan has not relented. Notice, if you would, in verse 40 of John chapter 8, you'll get a little glimpse concerning the battle of which I speak this morning. The Bible says in verse 40, "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." You see in that very verse that there were those, even before Calvary, even before Jesus went up the hill of the skull and died on the cross, there were those who would have killed Jesus Christ. They hated him and they hated what he said. The enemies of Jesus even accuse him in verse 48 of having a devil. Notice that in verse 48. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" They said the same thing of Jesus, of John the Baptist in Matthew 11, 18. They said, "He hath a devil." Now let me have your attention. This is a very important week for Lancaster Baptist Church. We are encouraging our members, maybe one or two nights this week, and everyone on Saturday morning to come together, that we might go out into this valley. And we have a simple goal this week, that every home in Lancaster and Palmdale will receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to go everywhere with the gospel and to every home inviting people to come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to mark something down in your mind. That is that not everyone will appreciate the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There might be someone who looks down on you at work. Don't be embarrassed about that, by the way. There might be someone who's not friendly to you at the door if you knock on their door. By the way, predominantly in this community, we receive a warm reception. But from time to time, we are not well received. May I simply say to you that Jesus Christ was not well received. And they said, "He has a devil." And they said, "We would like to kill him." And I want you to mark this down in your mind today, that Satan has fought the cause of Christ since the beginning of time. Oh, we want that type of Christianity many times where it's just kind of easy to be a Christian, and as long as everything's fine, I'll be faithful. As long as no one's critical of me, as long as no one's bothering me, I'll be faithful as a Christian. But you see, the fact is that Christianity many times involved facing the opposition of the wicked one. Now, with that context of John chapter 8, understanding that Jesus was facing opposition, we come to the time where we understand his purpose in ministry. And I want you to notice as we begin this morning, the purpose of the Savior. The purpose of the Savior. The Bible says in verse 48 that they accused him of having a devil. And in verse 49, Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me." Now here we see the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. His purpose in ministry was not to fight with his detractors. It was not to argue with his detractors. He did not come to win an argument. He did not come simply to have his way. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:23, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again." May I say that we do not go out this week to win an argument, to prove a point, or to have our way. This was not the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ in ministry. His purpose on this earth was to honor the Heavenly Father. That was why he came. And that is why godly Christians today exist. That is, that we may honor the Heavenly Father. Notice Jesus did not seek his own glory. The Bible says of Jesus in Matthew 3 and verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And it was the will of Jesus Christ and the purpose of Jesus Christ to honor and glorify the Father. Now he did this in the midst of unbelievers. And there were many about him who rejected his claims of messiahship. There were many about him who rejected the fact that he alone could be the way, the truth, and the life. But the Bible says in verse number 45, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." There were those who simply could not see the value of Christ. they could not appreciate the eternal riches in glory of Jesus Christ. And it is that way even today. There are those who choose a bottle over Jesus, and those who choose immorality rather than Jesus, and those who choose false religion rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, there was a man living in a cabin in North Carolina, in the hills of North Carolina. He went down to the creek one day on a walk, and he saw there in the creek a large rock, and he said, "That's a pretty rock." He said, "I'm going to bring that back and make it the stepping stone into my cabin." And so he brought it back to his cabin and put it there as a stepping stone. And for years, he would step on that stone and up into his cabin. One day, another fellow was walking on the trail not far from his cabin. This man was a geologist, and he noticed the beauty of the rock. And he got a little bit closer to the cabin. He got a little closer to the rock, and he saw that this rock, in fact, was a huge lump of gold. In fact, the story is told that it was one of the largest pieces of gold east of the Rocky Mountains. Here was a man who for many years was stepping on a large chunk of gold to get into his cabin year after year, not realizing the value of that precipice upon which he stepped day after day. Now, may I say to you that that is exactly how these men were viewing Christ. Here he was, the creator of the world, the Son of God, and yet they could not appreciate the value of Jesus Christ. My friend, if you're saved and on your way to heaven today, do you understand that the Son of God left heaven and died on a cross and shed his blood that you might have eternity in heaven? Don't take that for granted. The eternal riches of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ." You see, in the midst of unbelievers, Jesus Christ told the truth about who he was and about the will of God for their life. I was in the San Francisco airport this past Wednesday on our way home, and we'll share tonight a wonderful report of what God did overseas last week. But as we were coming home, I was there in the airport, and I told my wife, I said, "Honey, look at that man over there." Saw a nicely dressed man with a hat on, black cap. And I said, I believe that's Willie Brown there. Now, for those of you that have grown up in California, you know the name Willie Brown. Willie Brown was the Speaker of the House in Sacramento and the Mayor of San Francisco. And Willie Brown has stood for years and years on the opposite page of Bible-believing Christians. And so I saw him there, and I said, "Honey, give me a brochure from the church. I'm going to go speak to him." And I went over and I introduced myself. I said, "Hello, Mr. Brown. I'm a Baptist preacher from Lancaster, California. And I wanted to just come by and give you this. And I just wanted to tell you that I believe Jesus Christ is the answer for the need of our state and for our life." And I shared briefly with him about Christ. And then I said to him, "I want to also mention to you, sir, about Proposition 8. I said, "There's a proposition coming." I said, "Do you think we could get you to support marriage between a man and a woman?" I said, "I want to encourage you." He said, "In fact, I'm going to speak right now in USC tonight. I'm speaking against that very thing." And I said, "I'd just like to mention to you, sir, from the Bible." I said, "The Bible says in the book of Genesis that God created the man and then the woman, and the first marriage was between a man and woman." I said, "Sir, that was God's design." I said, "We're about ready to get on an airplane over here." I said, "This airplane has been designed by the engineers. There are certain specifications that must be followed for this airplane to get up in the air. And if those specifications are tampered with, destruction could come to the lives of hundreds of people." I said, "Sir, the fact of the matter is that I don't want anybody going out and tampering with that airplane and just kind of making their own version of it just before I get on it. I want to make sure that everything the engineers designed is followed accurately before I get on that plane." And I said, "I want you to understand that if we start tampering with God's design on the family, and if we start letting the Supreme Court in California just change it around the way we want it, we're asking for destruction in our state." He listened kindly. I don't know the effect of that visit with him, but I know this, that whenever we have opportunity to witness for Christ, or to be the salt and light of this earth, that it is incumbent upon us, it is our responsibility, even in the midst of unbelievers, that we stand and proclaim the truth. And it may not be easy, and it may not be popular, but we must speak the truth in love in this needy day in which we live. In the midst of unbelievers, Jesus spoke the truth. And may I say, in the midst of dishonor, Jesus spoke the truth. The Bible says in verse 48, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Now here we see the Jews insulting Jesus Christ, and they were literally referring to him as a national enemy, if you will, by calling him a Samaritan. And sometimes you will not be honored by people because you are faithful to the Lord. And may I remind you, we're not to look for honor from this world. We're to look for it when we come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. But here they dishonor the Lord. I believe it's likely that if Jesus were here today on this earth, he may be viewed upon by some as a criminal. There would be many who would not appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Food and Drug Administration would be unhappy with him for turning water into wine without a license, perhaps. The EPA would be unhappy with him for killing fig trees, and the American Medical Association for practicing medicine without a license. And the Department of Health perhaps would be unhappy for the fact that he would ask for graves to be opened, and he would raise the dead, and he would feed 5,000 people in unsanitary situations without a license from the health department. I believe the National Educators Association would hate him for many reasons, but one of them would be perhaps teaching without a certificate, and OSHA would be upset with him for walking on the water without a life vest, and the SPCA would be upset with him for driving the hogs into the sea, and the National Board of Psychiatrists would be upset with him for offering a guilt-free religion, and the National Association of Women would be upset with him for choosing 12 apostles and not one of them was a woman, and the Interfaith Council would be upset with him for simply saying that all the other religions were wrong. I'm telling you, my friend, I believe this morning. If Jesus were in America today, he probably would not be the most popular preacher around. But even in the midst of that, even in the midst of unpopularity on earth, people calling him a devil, people wanting to kill him, still he proclaimed his desire was to honor and glorify the Heavenly Father. But notice, secondly, his purpose was not only to honor the Father, it was to glorify the Heavenly Father. To honor the Father and to glorify the Heavenly Father. Now notice this in verse 50. The Bible speaks of it. "And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth." Now Jesus said, I'm not striving for my glory. I am simply recognizing that God will be the judge. There is one that judgeth, and it is God the Heavenly Father. And he glorified the Father in two ways. First, he glorified the Father by doing the Father's works. And if you and I want to glorify the Father this week, may we be busy about the Father's business. May we do his works. John chapter 8 and verse 29. "The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Now look right here for a moment. Would you like to honor God this week? Would you like your life to bring honor and glory to him? John 8, 29. "Do always those things that please him." Single adults in your dating life, please him and you will glorify him. Married couples in your married life, please him in the way you treat one another. Workers at work, please him in the way you live your life. John 5, 36, "For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do." Jesus glorified the Father by doing the works of the Father. He glorified the Father, secondly, by speaking the words of the Father. John 12 and verse number 49, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he hath given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." Do you see it with me? The purpose of Jesus Christ was to honor and glorify the Father while he was here on this earth. And that must be our purpose as well. Whatsoever we do, doing it all to the glory of the Father. Johannes Bach was a famous composer. No doubt you've heard the name. At the bottom of every one of his songs, he would place the letters SDG. Those letters signifying soli de gratia, or totally and only to the glory of God. To God be the praise for every song he authored, for every song he composed. He said, I have this one purpose, that God would receive all the praise for this song. May I say tomorrow, whether you're putting an airplane together, or whether you're building a house, or whether you're cleaning a room or changing a tire, or whatever you do, that you would do it all to the glory of your God. And that you would be the best you can be, not for your glory, but for his glory. And so that when someone says to you, good job, you can say, thanks to the Lord. You can deflect the praise to the one who has saved you. That was the purpose of Jesus Christ. But notice, if you would, secondly, the promise of Jesus Christ. In verse 51, he gives a promise to those unbelievers who gathered around him. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now let's read that one together, shall we? Ready, begin. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. All right, now find it and let's read it one more time. Ready, begin. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, here is a conditional promise. Conditional because of the first word, if. If a man keep my saying. What saying? The saying concerning him being the light of the world. The saying concerning him being the way to heaven. The saying concerning him being the bread of life. He said, if a man will keep this, if a man will believe this, John 8:24, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. To keep the words is to believe on the words of Christ and be saved. I'll share some tonight. What a blessing last Sunday morning to preach the gospel in another land and to see people receive Christ as their Savior. Why? Because they were hearing and keeping those words in their heart, putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what country one lives in, and it doesn't matter how much money one makes, and it doesn't matter how much sin someone has committed in their past, if they will believe that Jesus Christ is the only payment for their sin, then they will not see death, but they will live everlasting life. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, understand something this morning. God is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that anyone here would die and go to hell. Oh, that's not his desire for you today. He does not want you living eternally without him. He loves you today. And he sent his son Jesus to shed his blood on an old rugged cross. There he died for your sin and for my sin. And if anyone believes this, they will not die eternally. They will live eternally by the grace and glory of God. It's a conditional promise. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, secondly, it's an eternal promise. Oh, I thank God for this. Notice it in verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. You see, the fact is that Jesus was saying this. Oh, someone says, we might die physically. We may not. But if we die physically, we will never see eternal death. I want you to turn in your Bible briefly and quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know it's in your notes, but you need to underline this if you haven't done so already. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. I want you to recognize there is a life after this life. And we're here today to get ready for eternity. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's the theme verse for our nursery ministry right there.
Well, friend, you've been listening to part one of this message. We will hear part two in our next edition of Daily in the Word. This has been Dr. Paul Chappell teaching a series entitled The Greatness of Christ. We're considering the great attributes and strengths of our great Savior, Jesus Christ. If you would like to hear today's message again or recommend a friend to hear it, you can visit us at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a link to today's broadcast and recent broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast. Daily in the Word can be downloaded to your computer or your iPod and taken with you to listen anywhere you'd like at your leisure. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. We do have a special gift for you this month when you write to us or call or let us know that our program is touching your life. We just want to say thank you for listening. This month, we're sending out a little gift booklet entitled Biblical Guidelines for Using the Internet. The internet comes with a lot of dangers, and it's important that we train our children, that we protect ourselves. This little booklet will give you biblical principles for using the internet. A great little booklet. It's our gift to you when you simply call or email us from the website. You can call us toll-free, the number 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748, or visit us at dailyintheword.org. Again, thank you so much for being our guest today, and until next time, have a great day.